Taking Your Time, Going the Distance, and Keeping It Classic, all of our favorite themes today on The Stack. On today's show, we speak with the editor of a magazine that is proud to be the last to break the news. That title is Delayed Gratification, an in-depth look at the news from the last quarter. And we also go meta here on The Stack. We speak with Stephen Gregor, the editor of a magazine about magazines.
I love Fantastic Man. I love The Gentlewoman. I love The Heavy Reader. On the complete opposite side of the spectrum, I also love Entertainment Weekly.
All that coming up on The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to Studio One here at Midori House for a rather autumnal edition of The Stack. Just beyond the studio walls, the leaves are rustling and crackling underfoot in the park, and down the street, our favourite newsstand shelves are heaving with some bumper autumn issues. As I've been out of the studio and on the road for the past few weeks, I've been spending more than a little time in kiosks and bookshops at airports around the world, perusing September and already October issues. What stands out? Well, if you have a bit of time and geography on your side, I'd look at Thailand's Art 4D, an excellent title that, of course, focuses not just on design, but also on the country's newest mega bookshop in its current issue. Die Zeit's new men's title is really outstanding. Think a straighter, more grown-up, and more wearable take on Fantastic Man. Perhaps a little bit more on that title a bit later. The new Spanish AD has me thinking about a nice terrace in Madrid. And from Japan, the latest issue of Sumu has a wonderful story about socks, while Uomo is bursting with great gear for gentlemen who want to look sharp. And on the topic of looking sharp, or at least looking sharp on page and otherwise, I'm happy to say we're joined in studio by a Stack regular Rob Orchard, editor of Delayed Gratification, of course, a regular voice here in either Studio One or Studio Two. Now, Rob, we've had Brexit, fallout of Panama Papers, Rodrigo Duterte had a very interesting conversation with a general in Indonesia about him last week. We may talk about that and many other things. Before we get to reviewing all the titles you brought in, tell us about what we've got in the latest issue.
Fantastic. I will. It's our best issue yet.
They always are.
No, it's getting better.
That's not true, though, is it?
No, there's been mad fluctuation.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying in your case, but sometimes you feel like, okay, this was good, and then it does come off the printer, and then you'd think,
that's true. That's true.
That's true.
But you know what? I think probably
you do think this is the best.
I definitely think that one's the best. And I think looking back, that the times when I've had a bit of a dip like that, a bit of a wobble, is because of how the printers turned out, rather than necessarily the pieces. Guys, I think the pieces in general have been on upwards trend. But that one's.
But you're always 100% happy with the art direction. Like every time you think, okay, we got the yellows in the right
place. Honestly, we have the world's best art director, so I'm always delighted with it. Yeah, I always think it's absolutely fantastic. I think maybe also psychologically, there's a bit of you that needs to believe either way that this is the best.
Right.
Because otherwise, why would you put yourself through that torment of getting it out the door? But yeah, no, so
why don't we visit this 10 years later? I'm speaking for a man on the eve of our decade anniversary. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. If I make it that far, we'll talk about it. But so fantastic magazine, I think, this issue. Yep. And of course, skewed very, very strongly by the fact that right at the end of the quarter we covered, which is April to June, we had the referendum vote.
Of course.
Which was a massive challenge. And interestingly, the event so far in the history of the magazine that has had the most people getting in touch saying, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do on this. we're scratching our heads because, of course, everybody in the world is covering this story from every possible angle. But I think we nailed it. I think we brought something new to the table. Some really nice in-depth analysis and some beautiful infographics.
Nailed it, what do you think brings it home?
Well, so it's a difficult thing to cover because, of course, it hasn't happened yet. It's 3 months since a vote that took place and nothing's kind of nailed down. But what we decided to look at was some of the fault lines that have been opened up by this. Because it struck us that actually it's been obviously a very, very divisive vote and could be much more divisive down the road. So we sent our reporters to Northern Ireland to talk to people in Derry about the possibility of a hard border. We sent reporters to Gibraltar to wheedle out some of the 4%ers, 4% of people who voted to leave bloody-mindedly against the wishes of everybody else on the rock.
They haven't been pushed into the harbour yet. I'm surprised you found them.
I know, but they've been named and shamed on Facebook in some occasions. Okay. But they don't care. They're proud. you know. We went up to Scotland and we talked to fishermen who are absolutely delighted at the potential end of the common fisheries policy, but really worried that they're going to get messed around by the Scottish government. And then three other kind of really interesting touch points, and then some interesting infographics and so on. But tons of other stuff. I mean, what a busy quarter as well. You mentioned...
Well, crazy. I mean, extraordinary.
Insane. Yeah. You know, you got to a stage, you know, a couple of weeks into it. You're just like, I'm not really sure what else can happen at this stage.
Right.
Duterte is very interesting. I think one of my favourite pieces, though, is a return to the Fort McMurray wildfire.
Yes.
Extraordinary story, and that had blanket coverage for 4 days. And these very harrowing pictures of people taking this highway out of town, billowing black clouds of smoke around them, and the flames kind of licking closer to their stationary cars.
And we thought this only happened in California and in New South Wales.
Exactly right.
It even comes to Alberta. Yeah.
Exactly right. But sending somebody back a couple of months afterwards, as people go in for the first time, see their homes which have been incinerated, try to work out what on earth they're going to do. Fascinating. And I think...
How are they going to deal with the insurance companies?
I was
in Canada last week, and this is one of the big fallout stories of all of it. Well, yes, my house did burn down, actually.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting to watch that. And it's sort of fascinating, I guess, from your perspective as well. Do you ever have those moments as you're on press, and you know, even though you've got this distance between events happening, you of course unraveling it and analyzing things, and then also looking at maybe the shifting landscape of also how more of the daily papers, the weekends, are in much more of a review focus now.
Yes, absolutely.
And does that put a pressure on you a little bit?
I don't think so. I think it's the opposite. I think actually it's good, because it's instead of it being a bit of a niche and quirky thing, it's a thing that people are seeing left, right and centre, but we're just doing
it
very, very well.
In a way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also, you know, a magazine is so different from reading things, you know, for free online and so on, that we're not too worried about that, I think. But I think for me, that's a kind of a classic sort of story, because I guess in the Canadian press, there will have been return to stories. But actually,
it dies out internationally. Been nothing else.
And absolutely fascinating.
Just tell us, since we last chatted, it's been interesting also, I think, for our listeners who are in the business of putting magazines out. I've certainly noticed, and I was saying it in the intro of the show as well, been in lots of airports. It's great to see that you've got shelf hangers now. And for people who don't know what shelf hangers are, dear listeners, those are those plastic... Basically, they're bins, aren't they?
Yes.
That live, as they say, on the edge of a shelf, and are normally branded. And you'll see The Economist has them in Business Week, as does Monocle. And you've joined the club now, which is good.
So we have.
It's a nice neighbourhood of titles now, I think.
We've got parasite units.
Yeah.
We're much less good at getting them stocked than you guys. And the, you know, my heart sinks when I go into a place and I see an empty parasite unit.
Me too. And knowing the price that, of course, we're paying at airports like Heathrow.
Yep.
And we see them and they say, oh, well, it's because, it was Sunday morning, and there was a wave of flights, and I guess that's where they're going. Well, hopefully there's a wave of flights every Sunday morning.
Is there any way to plan this in?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the one thing we do know about airports is that there's something called a timetable that surrounds all of them, and flights take off, and they may not be always busy, but hopefully if it's a good airline, they're 80% full, which means, as a publisher, we'd like our shelf hangers full.
Exactly, if that's possible. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Maybe at some point I need to pick your brains about what it is that you guys do to do so much better at having them full than us. Anyway,
we have 100 staff.
Well,
we have 100 staff. No, I'm not kidding. We have our Friday morning meeting at the end of every month, and everyone is reminded in the company, in both companies, because, you know, with the magazine, with the agency, and just saying, when you go around the world, please take photographs of these empty units that we're spending money on, like you are. It's not a cheap, you know, business. And I'm sure people say, oh, isn't it amazing? They say, I saw delayed gratification. It's great that you're sort of there. And you're like, yeah, it's like, you know, you're just always sort of hoping that, you know, you're spending all this money on promotion, and that, you know, someone is going, of course, to the warehouse, the seller of the airport, and restocking at the end of the day.
Exactly right. I think that's very interesting. Maybe what I need to do is try to mobilize some readers to check it out for us, because we do not have 100 staff. The limited number of staff we have don't seem to be traveling all that much.
But that is the only way you can, seriously, it's the only way that you can govern it, and that your distributor and, of course, the retailer can come good. And I can promise you that sending some photographs to the CEO of the company that we're all talking about.
Stepping around.
It gets results.
Yeah, exactly.
Get results.
I'll get on the case. That's a good tip.
Very good. Yeah. Now, tell me, extraordinary summer, of course, that we've been through. And obviously, that's what you'll be working on at the moment. And then you've got this other issue of a rather significant event coming up in November as well. So does this have you also sort of rethinking and rebudgeting and how you deploy? Because this is, you know, for anyone, this is a very peculiar autumn. So if you're a 24-hour news channel, of course, you need probably an election year, you need a 20-25% bigger budget. Same if you're a newspaper, a weekly magazine, and I guess even probably for you as well.
This is true. Well, so we have had our last piece of Trump coverage in this issue. We did a Trump infographic, which I'm going to flick through for you, but it's very jolly. And basically, we tracked out this extraordinary meteoric campaign where he zoomed through all the primaries, despite saying this cavalcade of just outrageous things. Mm. But we've got basically, so the next issue covers July, August, September.
Right.
And of course, there's a million and one things that we could do in that period. But we've got basically a no Trump policy. We've been going quite hard on Trump. And actually, the nice thing for us is that the issue that covers...
So you're saying upcoming, there's no Trump.
Next issue, no Trump. Okay. Trumpless. A Trumpless issue. Because we're all going to be inundated with it anyway. And do you know what? The nice thing for us is that we get to do it the issue after, and we get to really go to town on it, whichever way the result comes down, and we can pull it to pieces and we look at everything that everybody else has done and try to find something different rather than having to add our voices to it. And I think the other thing is that if we put anything in this issue, which is coming out, I think, November the 10th or something, then it's just going to be so obviously out of date.
Mm. You're listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24. My guest today, Rob Orchard of Delayed Gratification. We're talking about the latest issue. It's issue 23, which is out on newsstands now. We're going to go away for a short break. When we come back, we're going to be having our magazine review. But before that, we're going to be talking a little bit about Gym Class magazine. Stay with us.
Meet the Writers is the show in which we have a chance to get intimate with some exciting authors. Airing at 1500 every Saturday and available as a podcast thereafter, it's an in-depth discussion about the life and work of a different writer every week, with me, Georgina Godwin, on Monocle 24.
You're back with The Stack here on Monocle 24 with me, Tyler Brulé, also my guest today, Rob Orchard of Delayed Gratification magazine. We're going to be looking at a couple of his titles that he's brought along in a moment. I'm quite intrigued to see what's happening in Dog magazine. But before that, of course, there is a perfect magazine for all magazine lovers. It's called Gym Class. They're always very, very nice to us. And I have to say it's because it's edited by the very lovely Stephen Gregor. Now, if you haven't seen it, Gym Class is a magazine dedicated to other magazines, covering the rules of cover design, the Ten Commandments of indie titles, and of course, an insider look at the world of Japanese magazines. I can happily say that our very own Fernando Augusto Pacheco spoke to Stephen Gregor, the editor, a little earlier.
Stephen, a pleasure to have you here. As you know, I'm a huge fan of your magazine. And what a pleasure to see the newsstand with a very beautiful tone of blue as well.
Ah, thank you.
And again, every issue looks different than the other. If you can describe the new issue for us, that would be great.
Well, it's it's quite a large format. It's quite a large page size, and it's very glossy, and it's very blue and very orange. And there's quite a few cover lines, so it's designed to be quite hard working on the newsstand.
In terms of the design, what can you tell us that changed in this issue compared to the other ones?
There are a number of the same typefaces in this issue and the last issue. What there is in this issue is a lot more original commissioned illustration, commissioned photography, and, of course, the original writing. So that's exciting. And I was helped by Alex, the new art director, who helped with a lot of the commissioning, and his input was invaluable to free me up to concentrate on the words.
And I have to say, I mean, a good thing about Gym Class is kind of, it seems to me that you're having fun when you're making the magazine, because it is very playful, you know. It's not just kind of straight articles about, oh, this is a new magazine, we tell the historic background. But for example, we have a crossword at the end, which I love it.
This issue is my favourite issue so far, and it's a good one to end on. But one of the things I love most about it is I think it's the most fun issue that there's been in a while. And I think Gym Class is quite well known for its fun tone of voice, but this one, you know, I've turned up the volume a bit more, so that's good.
You did mention it's the final one. I mean, that's very sad news for all those fans. But tell us a bit more, why did you decide to finish a project? I'm sure you have a lot of exciting projects coming up, but let's talk about this.
Well, I started Gym Class in 2009, so I've been doing it for a while, and I feel like it's probably, I'm pretty confident it's gone as far as I can take it. Yeah, it's a little bit emotional, actually, wrapping it up. But it's been a blast, and I've met so many amazing people and had so many amazing opportunities through it. But yeah, looking forward, I plan to launch a new magazine next year. So the idea is it will be a beautiful indie magazine, but it will have a larger reach, hopefully, with potential audience, because gym class is obviously so niche. I want to cast the net a little bit wider.
I want to ask about a couple of stories in the latest issue. Mm. I mean, I love the story about power lunching with the New York magazine elite. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, that is one of my favorite articles, and it's just a coincidence that I wrote it. it's basically an article looking at the Four Seasons restaurant in New York, which closed in July, I think it was. And it had a long history of New York A-list magazine folk hanging out there and having power lunches. And in fact, Esquire magazine coined the term power lunch, describing the Four Seasons restaurant. So I love that glamorous side of magazines. And it was one of the things that sort of attracted my attention in the first place. So yeah, that's a fun article. I like that one.
And of course, I have to mention, even our own Tyler Brulé is talking about his favorite lunch spot.
Well, yeah, you know, we're talking about New York. We can't ignore London. In fact, that little snippet is hilarious. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, I'll make sure to check in as well. What about the cover story with photographer Christopher Anderson? Correct me if I'm wrong, but this image is from him as well?
Yeah. The image on the cover is one of Christopher's photos. It was a photo he took for New York magazine a couple of years ago. It's a behind-the-scenes photo from New York Fashion Week a couple of years ago. And I love it. And it was basically the only image I tried on the cover because I loved it immediately. There is so much about this cover that is following the rules or the conventions of what a newsstand cover should look like. So I like the fact that the image sort of balances it out with something that's a little bit more abstract and a little bit more artistic, maybe.
I'll put you a little bit on the spot here. Of course, you're a big fan of magazines, and I wonder which magazines are truly inspirational for you, you know, for your work, either at Gym Class or your future projects as well. Which are the magazines that, you know, they're still there and then you have to pick up every single issue?
I get that asked a lot, and I wish I had an answer that, you know, introduced people to new magazines. But what I like is generally what is most popular at the moment. I love Fantastic Man. I love The Gentlewoman. I love The Happy Reader. The people who put those magazines together also put together a magazine for COS, the clothing store. And that is fantastic as well. On the complete opposite side of the spectrum, I also love Entertainment Weekly, the American television and film gossip magazine. I love it.
It's so fun.
It's so fun.
Fresh, and it's like around 80 pages. You know, it's an easy read. I like it.
And
as
it's
well.
Inexpensive as well, which is good.
Yeah, even in the UK, I think it's $2.95 or something like that.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of joy for not much money.
Exactly. I agree with you. And finally, where can we find Gym Class? Because I believe this is quite a limited edition, the one we have in front of us now.
Yeah, well, it's 1,000 copies like the previous issue was, but only 250 are available in the UK. 200 are going across to Europe and 500 are going over to the States. The 500 that are in the States, it's very exciting for me. They're going to be in Barnes & Noble, so I feel like I've arrived.
Amazing. Well, I have my copy here,
yes.
So I'm safe.
Yes, you're safe, yeah. But, you know, if people are interested, they probably shouldn't delay because it's going to be hard to find in a couple of weeks, I reckon.
Thank you very much, Stephen, and good luck with your future projects as well.
Thank you.
And that was our Fernando Augusto Pacheco speaking to Steve Gregor about the delights in producing a magazine all about our very favorite topic. Now, I can happily say that Rob Orchard has not disappeared from the studio. In fact, he's got 5 very nice magazines here. It looks like you want to start with Sport.
I want to start with Sport. Okay. Which is quite an unusual thing for me in my life, insofar as I spend almost all of it kind of trying to avoid conversations with men about sport. But, you know, let's get stuck in here. Let's do this. So I am not a sport lover. I don't care. I don't have a team. I'm not involved. And the reason that I love this magazine, Good Sport, is because it had me gripped, despite the fact that it's all about this topic that I don't care about. What it's done very
brilliantly. So why did you pick it up? How did this come to you?
So this is a recommendation from Steve Watson of Stack, who I get some of my top tips about magazines from, and who actually occupies the office just behind us at Somerset House. So it's very good for kind of popping in and giving us new titles. But this is a great magazine. So what they've done is, firstly and foremost, it's rammed with stories. It's got sort of an embarrassment of riches here. Extraordinarily good photography and extraordinarily uniform photography, given that it's all different photographers and all different people around the world. So amazing art directions, pulled it all together. And so just some great stories. So they've got this story about free divers, and there was this amazing fact in there that got me. So your lung capacity is 6 litres.
Mm.
It goes down to 1.2 litres when you're 40 metres down. And these guys are diving 120 metres, which just kind of blows your mind. There's this amazing story about this guy who was a refugee, managed to get to Australia via Christmas Island, had a 2-week boat journey to get there, and is now going to be a karate champion in the Australian team.
Right.
Absolutely fantastic. This woman in Nepal who left a Maoist training camp and is now becoming a sky runner. All of these lovely things, just very nicely packaged together.
And the title is from, I'm just looking here on the masthead, it is based where? It is based in... Oh, this just drives me nuts. You know, I love independent publishing, ladies and gentlemen, but really, on your masthead, you need to, you know, you might be doing it out of your bedroom. Don't be embarrassed. Just tell us where you're based.
I think they might be based in Australia. I don't want to get that wrong. But regardless, hats off to them. Sensational.
Absolutely.
It's only issue 2. It's looking very, very kind of settled.
Yeah.
I do hope that there are enough people out there who are going to support it, because clearly
well, it's printed,
it is...
No, it's printed in the UK.
They could, okay.
For all we know, they could be sitting in Australia, though. Anyway, I just, yeah. I really think it is important. I think provenance of titles is important.
Absolutely, yeah, in the indie mag market, yeah. But, yeah, just a lovely thing. And, I mean, you know, that will have cost them a huge amount to put together.
No, this is beautifully done.
30-odd stories from all around the place, but clearly driven by a real passion. And, you know, I take it as a mark, any feature or any magazine that can get me to engage with sport is sensational.
Nice art direction. I mean, I think there's a genre of typography there, which is very of the moment. So I think the typography we're certainly seeing in many other places. But I think, yeah, beautifully executed. Now, another one. I've got dog in front of me.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not like it? Very tactile cover. And again, I have no idea where it's from, but I'm looking at the names. We've got a Peter Jan Botehoek. What else do we have in here? Now, it's a bit of a mixed grill of different names and nationalities. So it could be London. Hard to say. So anyway, now here's yet another magazine. Please tell us where you're from.
Okay.
But where did you find this?
Well, so this is interesting. So I'm not totally sure where I picked this up. I seem to have this sort of miasma of magazines like floating around my desk at any one time. But this is interesting as well, because also I don't really care about dogs. I haven't got a dog.
Really?
I don't care about sport. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate dogs. But, you know, this magazine has made me engage. And the thing that I really like about it, actually, is that I see so many indie mags that I think, yes, great, you've got the kind of the talent, the creativity, but you do not have a business plan. And this seems to me to have a very solid business plan, because there is a huge contingent of people, obviously, who feel very desperately passionately about their dogs. And this is an obvious gift for them. It's an obvious subscription they're going to take out to cheer themselves up. And it's been carried out well. And quite a lot of people pitch me ideas for indie mags. And I've heard this pitch several times over. What if there were, you know, kind of a lovely lifestyle title for dogs that wasn't just about worming tablets and, you know,
right,
comparing different types of food, but was actually about the kind of the lifestyle and the philosophy and the love for it and so on. And this seems to have kind of covered it off. So you've got pictures of good-looking men with good-looking dogs. You've got a sort of slightly strange sci-fi cartoon about a dog, which I quite enjoyed. You've got this...
I'm going through it. I think we're in the Netherlands.
The cover star... And I'm going to mispronounce this, is the Stabihun.
The Stabihun.
So there's this amazing sort of multi-page tribute to this dog, and it's apparently from Friesland.
Yes.
And then
it's great, actually. Then we go into just a wonderful story about Friesland. So then we divert away from the world of dogs. The Stabihun sort of makes another appearance. We've got some lambs, we've got some open country roads, we have the tide out. It's beautifully done.
It's interesting, those things as well, because I have always thought...
A weekend in Friesland.
I've always thought a weekend in Friesland. And now's the time. I'm going to get myself a dog, and get myself a Stabihun and head there. No, well, I've always thought of magazines which have double page spread images of just sort of a restful, calming scene as ever so slightly taking the mickey. So I'm like, if I bought this magazine, I want you to fill it with words, or I want you to go somewhere difficult, not just take a nice nap. But this seems to be the magazine that kind of really carries it off for me. And there's one shot in there of just this, maybe it's, I'm particularly stressed at the moment, that there's pine tree forest in there, which I sort of looked at for about 3 minutes. I was just like, oh, wow. And I've talked to people about this before, and they said, you know, those sorts of magazines can be almost like an exercise in sort of mindfulness and restfulness and sort of yoga, effectively.
Right.
And, you know, it's quite a meditative series of shots.
Yeah, very, very beautifully
Lots
done.
Of content as well. Very good.
Probably we have to be quite quick.
Yes,
we spent a lot of time on Good Sport. And just tell us the other three
Fantastic.
That you've got.
I've got LT Magazine. It's mental. It's on issue 4. is the strangest magazine that I've ever seen. This issue, he's devoted, the guy who runs it, Les, he's devoted purely to getting stuff off Fiverr. So he's put the whole thing together with some of the weirdest things. So he's got somebody to answer 5 questions about African pygmy hedgehogs, got somebody to crochet a beard for him, send him pictures of German food. The thing that I like about this magazine is it's properly eccentric. It's not some whimsical kind of like try hard. It's genuinely
bonkers.
Bonkers. Yeah. And it's brilliant. I mean, what a great
idea.
But
still beautifully executed.
Beautifully executed.
You can follow with the narrative what he's up to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have no idea what his business model is. I think he does do creative stuff on the side. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. I think the early issues, he only printed 1,000 copies. So that's great. This, short and sweet, the stress report.
Right.
So this is from the guys who do the Do lectures. You know those things where you go to Wales and nobody can get in because it's sold out in about 2 seconds.
Yes.
So I think this is a magazine for people who didn't manage to book a ticket or couldn't afford to buy a ticket to the Do lectures because they are pricey. And so what they've done is a sort of what they call a 12-week deep dive into a subject. And the starting premise is that in 2020, the WHO says that stress-related illnesses are going to be topping the charts at exactly the same time as 5G ushers in a whole new layer of speed in our communication. So they do experiments. They've taken one of their members of staff and put them through lots of different things for a week at a time to try to reduce their stress levels, including getting rid of their smartphone. They've done some nice analysis. They've done this lovely survey of 100 people. They're looking at best practice around the world, looking at lots of these Silicon Valley companies that can actually afford to, you know, have wellness offices and so on. So I think I like it. I like the style. I mean, I read it in, you know, 2 tube journeys. It's not an onerous read. But actually, it's something that we all care about. And presumably, they're going to go topic by topic by topic all the way through.
Yeah, and it goes through. Just if you're not keeping me jump on the tube, we need to socialize, breathe, plan, prioritize, move, reflect, sit, venture, make, listen, laugh, manage. And on it goes. But it's quite funny because, oh no, I thought it was a nuclear cloud after all of that. maybe not. But interesting concept. And there's one more.
Now, this
will
take about 2 seconds.
Okay.
This is extraordinary. So this is a magazine that is just one photo essay. It's £3. Right. It's called Concord. It's from Hyderabad. And it's, I think, I'm not sure what issue it is, maybe issue 3. And this issue, which is only a few pages long, is devoted to a very lovely photo feature about
barbers.
Fantastic. Of Hyderabad. And actually from the first issue, which is a man being shaved and having his nose wrenched up by the barber at the same time, it just kind of got me. I just thought, lovely, lovely insight.
And we know exactly where this is from. It's printed by Vishal Printers in Hyderabad.
There you go. Extra bonus points for that.
Excellent. I also said at the top of the show, I don't know if you've seen this, I just brought you Zeit magazine.
Oh, lovely.
We were talking to the editor last week. I was mentioned in my intro. I just think really interesting from the world, of course, of, you know, one of the most respected weekly newspapers in Europe, but just extending that brand, not just giving it away with the paper, but how do you take Die Zeit as a brand? And they've already have a galaxy of other sort of spin-off titles, but I like it that I was just saying, I think it's just very sort of grown up, smart, and I've never seen anyone take a better approach to doing great still life accessories photography, which can sort of always just look naff and dreadful pack shots. But in the front, there's a really sort of beautiful lineup, all in black and white.
Yes,
very,
agreed.
Very nice.
And a massive interview with Christopher Waltz.
Indeed.
Yeah, fantastic.
Rob, very good to see you.
Very good to see you.
And we look forward to having you back. Something probably at this point, a bit of a year-end roundup, if nothing before. Next issue is out when you're obviously...
Mid-November.
Well,
yes.
I think... No better time to have you back.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Huge thanks to our producer, Fernando Augusto Pacheco, and of course, Claire Urban, who's back after a bit of a marathon tour all around Europe on a bicycle. Lovely to see you behind the glass again. If you have any comments or queries, then do drop us a note to info@monocle.com. Remember, we're back at the very same time next Saturday. And of course, you can always listen again at monocle.com or via iTunes or whoever your favorite podcast provider is. You've been listening to The Stack. I'm Tyler Burley. Until next time, goodbye.